This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, we are in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and there are so many lessons, alhamdulillah, which one can learn and one should learn. And as I keep reminding myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us these stories not for their story value, but for us to learn lessons from them to apply in our lives. And that's why we are doing this whole series of classes on lessons from the lives of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. So now we are at this point where Yusuf alayhi salam's brother has been implicated in this theft of this gold bowl which belongs to the king, and so now he is going to be within quotes enslaved, and he will remain behind in Egypt, and he will not go back with his brothers to Sham where they came from. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. قالوا they said قالوا يا أيها العزيز إن له أبا شيخا كبيرا فخذ أحدنا مكانه إنا نراك من المحسنين قال معاذ الله أن نأخذ إلا من وجدنا متاعنا عنده إنا إذا لظالمون فلما استيأسوا منه خلصوا نجيا قال كبيرهم ألم تعلموا أن أباكم قد أخذ عليكم موثقا من الله ومن قبل ما فرطتم في يوسف فلن أبرح الأرض حتى يأذن لي أبي أو يحكم الله لي وهو خير الحاكمين ارجعوا إلى أبيكم فقولوا يا أبانا إن ابنك سرق وما شهدنا إلا بما علمنا وما كنا للغيب حافظين واسأل القرية التي كنا فيها والعير التي أقبلنا فيها وإنا لصادقون. They said, O ruler of the land. Now this is talking to, they are talking to Yusuf alayhi salam, and they don't know who he is, so, and they think he is the ruler. And the Aziz. So they say, O ruler of the land, verily he has an old father who will grieve for him. So take one of us in his place. Indeed, we think that you are a kind person, one of the muhsinun. You are somebody who will do ihsan. You are somebody who is so kind and generous. Yusuf alayhi salam has no intention of doing that. So he says, Allah forbid. Ma'ad Allah, that we should take anyone but him with whom we found our property. Indeed, if we did that, we should be zalimun, we should be wrongdoers. So when they despaired of him, they realized that this is not going to work. So they had a conference in private, and the eldest among them said, Know you not that our father did take an oath from you in Allah's name? And before this, you did fail in your duty with Yusuf. Therefore, I will not leave this land until my father permits me or Allah decides my case by releasing Binyamin, and he is the best of judges. And then he said, Return to your father and say, O our father, verily your son Binyamin has stolen, and we testify not except according to what we know, and we could not know the unseen. And ask the people of the town where we have been, and the caravan in which we return, and indeed we are telling the truth. So they said, well, what can we do? This is what happened, and if you want, you can check with the people who are with us that this indeed happened, and Binyamin stole, and therefore he is now a prisoner in Egypt. The brothers returned, leaving the elder one in Egypt. Their father did not believe them. They said, ask the people of the town if you like, and ask the caravan. But their father still did not believe them because they had lost confidence. This father said, well, this is what you did in the first case, with Yusuf alayhi salam. You also had some so-called proof and evidence, and you have done this also the second time, even though you took an oath in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the interesting thing is that this time they were not lying, they were speaking the truth. But that's why lying and telling lies is not about that moment alone, but the effect of that behavior on credibility. So it takes a lifetime to build credibility, to build trust, but one lie can destroy it. It's not about whether the lie is big or small, it's about what it does to your trustworthiness and reliability. And that damage is always big. Right? Losing credibility is like losing your life. You can't get it back. And he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring Yusuf and his brother back to me. Now this is the quality of the Anbiya alayhi salam, that they never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Yaqub alayhi salam also did not lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said he would have sabr and he will ask Allah. But this refreshed his wound at the loss of Yusuf alayhi salam, and he wept so much that in his grief he lost his sight. قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل عسى الله أن يأتيني بهم جميعا إنه هو العليم الحكيم وتولى عنهم وقال يا أسف على يوسف وابيضت عيناه من الحزن فهو كظيم قالوا تالله تفتأ تذكر يوسف حتى تكون حرضا أو تكون من الهالكين قال إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون. He, Yaqub alayhi salam, said, nay, but your own selves have beguiled you into something. He said, you people, you have committed a sin and you are telling lies. He didn't believe them. And he said, you are going against your oath. So patience is most fitting for me, because what can he do? He is an old man, he couldn't do anything against them. Maybe Allah will bring them back all to me, meaning Yusuf alayhi salam and Binyamin, his brother. Truly he, Jalla Jalaluhu, only he is all-knowing, all-wise. And he turned away from them and he said, alas, my grief for Yusuf. And he lost his sight because of the sorrow that he was suppressing. They said, by Allah, you will never cease remembering Yusuf until you become weak with old age or until you die. He said, I only complain of my grief and sorrow to Allah, and I know from Allah that which you know not. Now this is the, again, as a Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had comforted him, so he knew that it would all end well, but as a father, as a human being, he was suffering from the pain of the emotion, so obviously he had to, he had to say whatever he had to say, and this is what he said. He said, "I will have sabr and jameer, and I will cry, and my tears are only before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." One time, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu was leading salah in Salatul Fajr, and he read this ayah. When he was reciting this ayah, he recited it over and over again, and he wept so much that people heard him in the rows, even at the back. This is the beauty of reading the Quran with understanding and with connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not reading it mechanically. Not like we do in our, may Allah forgive us, in our Taraweeh. If the Qari is reciting, connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting beautifully, and you can see and you can feel the connection of the Qari, the reciter, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's reciting with understanding. We have people who will complain about that. And we say, no, he's not reciting fast enough. This Taraweeh is taking too long. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I warn you. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you, what is it that you were in such a big hurry about? Right? You couldn't stand to, and you couldn't sit and patiently listen to my kalam. I always tell people, if you are in a hurry, leave and go away. Taraweeh is nafil. But don't do this injury to yourself. Don't do this lack of adab. Don't show this lack of respect for the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that you object because the Qari is reciting beautifully. Your objection, look at your objection, how shameful is that objection, right? Your objection is what? You're not objecting because the Qari is doing something wrong. You're not objecting because he is reciting in a bad way. You are objecting because he is reciting beautifully. You are objecting because he is reciting connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How evil is that? Just give it some thought. How evil is that? And what is the need for it? If you are in a hurry, leave. No problem. This is not a sin to pray less than 20 rakat. Or less than 8 rakat or whatever rakat you pray. You leave the if you are tired standing, then sit down. If you don't want to sit down, then if you need to leave. Now people give this excuse, which really shows that they don't have knowledge of the seerah. For example, people say, well, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to recite Quran when he was reading salah, and if he heard any children crying in the back, then he would shorten his recitation so that it is not difficult for the mothers. This shows your lack of understanding of the seerah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that in the first salah. Right? In the first salah. Because the first salah, you can shorten, because there's no specific amount of recitation that you need to do. So you can shorten. So he used to shorten. And the women in the back were in the first salah, so he didn't want them to not come or something. So he used to shorten. But what was his tarawih like? What was his Qiyamul Layl? He didn't pray what we call tarawih, but he prayed Qiyamul Layl, which is what tarawih is. What was his Qiyamul Layl like? The Sahaba said he would pray so long that we were afraid the sun would come out. Which meant what? Which meant he prayed the whole night. In one story in the seerah, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, two of the most beautiful Sahaba, most beautiful Qurra of the Qur'an, they decided one day to pray behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when he stood for Qiyam, they came and they stood behind him. Then Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, after Surah Al-Fatiha, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started Surah Al-Baqarah. And the recitation of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would recite very slowly. When he came to an ayat of Bashara, he would make dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his blessings. If he came to an ayat of Wa'id, of warning, of where Allah's anger is mentioned, he would make dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from his anger. And this is how he would. So Abdullah Masud said, Abdullah Anhu, that he started Surah Al-Baqarah, and he recited, and when he came to 100 ayat, I thought he will finish and go to ruku, but he continued. Then I thought maybe in 200 ayat he will do that. He continued until he finished Surah Al-Baqarah. Now that is how much? That is 2.5 juz. And then he said Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, and he started Surah Al-Ali Imran. The same one rakat. Same one rakat. He started Surah Al-Ali Imran. And Abdullah Basud radiallahu anhu says that, well, you know, he started Surah Al-Ali Imran, and now we thought maybe half the surah, maybe 100 ayat. He completed Surah Al-Ali Imran, then he said Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, and he started Surah Al-Nisa. So Abdullah bin Masud and Usayb bin Hudayr, they said, we changed our niyyah and we went into ruku, we prayed one extra rakat, and made two rakat, and then we left. And next day they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they came and they apologized to him, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we wanted to pray behind you, but you know, we simply could not sustain. We were standing there and you read these surahs and so on. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and he said, who told you to pray behind me? Did he say I should have shortened my recitation? Did he say I should have recited fast? He said, who told you to pray behind me? Please understand, do not disrespect the Quran. Do not fall into this trap. So here, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu is reciting and he's so connected that he's weeping and people can hear him at the back. There's another story about this which I heard, where they said that he heard a voice saying, three of us have lost our life already, Ya Amirul Mumineen, please move ahead. And this was from the jinn who were praying behind. He said, three of the jinn, they actually lost their lives. They were so connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this surah is being recited and says, and Umar ibn al-Khattab is crying, they were crying and three of them died. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love for His kalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this connection with His kalam. This is our connection with Allah. In this life, you are not going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kalam of Allah is the sifat of Allah. It is not a created thing. It is an attribute, it's a quality, it is the closest that we can get to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu by reading His kalam, by listening to His kalam. Let us treat that with the value and with the love and with the respect that it deserves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentions the other ayat in this surah, where Yaqub alayhi salam said, Ya bani yadhabu fatahassasu min Yusufa wa akhihi wa la tayasu min rawhillahi innahu la yayasu min rawhillahi illa al-qawmul kafirun. فلما دخلوا عليه قالوا يا أيها العزيز مسنا وأهلنا الضر وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة فأوفي لنا الكيل وتصدق علينا إن الله يجزي المتصدقين قال هل علمتم ما فعلتم بيوسف وأخيه إذ أنتم جاهلون. He said, Oh my sons, go you and inquire about Yusuf and his brother and never give up hope of Allah's mercy. He said, go find them. Certainly, no one despairs of Allah's mercy except the people who disbelieve. So to despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kufr. And therefore that we must never make sure, we must make sure that we never do that. Then when they entered unto him, then they came to Yusuf alayhi salam, they said, O ruler of the land, a hard time has hit us and our family, and we have brought but poor capital. We don't have money. We have brought us a little bit. So pay us full measure and be charitable to us. So now they are in the state of almost begging. They said, we have no money. The food is gone. We have come to you now to literally begging and say, please give us some money. Please give us food, even though we don't have enough money to pay for it. And truly Allah rewards the charitable. So this Aziz, he said, do you know what you did with Yusuf and his brother when you were ignorant and you were jahilun? Now they suddenly realized that this Aziz is actually Yusuf, because only Yusuf would have known these details, alayhi salam. So when he asked them this question, now they recognize him and say, oh my God, this is the one. So they said, قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ قال أنا يوسف وهذا أخي قد من الله علينا إنه من يتقي ويصبر فإن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين قالوا تالله لقد آثرك الله علينا وإن كنا لخاطئين قال لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. They said, are you indeed Yusuf? And he said, yes, I'm Yusuf. And this is my brother Binyamin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed been gracious to us. Verily, he who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is obedient, who has taqwa to him and is patient and has sabr, then surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make the reward of the muhsineen to be lost. So taqwa plus sabr equals victory. But it can take time. There is no victory without sabr. There is no victory without sustenance. Today, we are very passionate, but we have no sabr. No strategy, no plan, no investment. We are reactionary, like soda. All fizz and no bang. If you want to make change, you have to be and you must be prepared for the long haul. There's no such thing as instant coffee in terms of life. And so they said, by Allah, indeed Allah has preferred you above us, and we certainly have been sinners. So now they accepted that what they had done was wrong, and they had committed this crime. They tried to kill Yusuf alayhi salam. They did all that they did, and then later on, when Binyamin was falsely implicated with this gold bowl, even there they blamed Yusuf alayhi salam. So he used to steal, which was total slander, which was something which was totally false. But see the reaction of and response of Yusuf alayhi salam. This is why I say that Yusuf alayhi salam was not simply beautiful as a physically beautiful, but also internally. And he said, no reproach on you this day. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. May Allah forgive you and he is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Now, this is reflected also in the seerah of Rasulullah. When Rasulullah entered Makkah and he conquered the Quraysh and he conquered Makkah, then he came to the Kaaba and he cleaned the Kaaba of all the idols and so on. And then he called the people of Makkah. So when he called the people of Makkah, now they all came. And his whole army was there in the ways of the time. These people who have been conquered, the people of a conquered city, are automatically the slaves of the conqueror. He can do whatever he wants with them. And the usual thing that people used to do with slaves was that they would, all the combatants, all the soldiers, they would kill, and the others would be taken into slavery, the women and children would be sold into slavery, the men would be put to work somewhere, and so on and so forth. So they would become slaves. But in the case of Mr. Salam, he called them and he asked them, what do you want, what shall I do with you? So they said, Anta Kareem, Ibnul Kareem, they said, you are our honored brother. Anta Akhil Kareem, Ibn Akhil Kareem, they said, you are our honored brother and you are the son of our honored brother. Now, think about this. These were the same people. He was the same honored brother, but they did not treat him honorably when he was weak. And when he was trying to preach his message in Makkah, they did not treat him honorably. They treated him very dishonorably. They violated all their own customs of hospitality. Arab hospitality is famous. But these people, they violated those customs. They did not allow him to come and make Umrah, even after he had migrated, even after he had left. They drove him out from there as a refugee. They put a price on his head, on his blessed head, alive or dead, right? They did everything. They confiscated his property. His daughter was shaheed, was killed by them. Some of his closest companions, who he loved more than we can ever imagine, loving even our own siblings or even our parents and children. Rasulullah's love for his sahaba and the love of his sahaba for Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran. It was so beautiful and so powerful. Yet they killed those people. How much of emotional and physical pain and loss and suffering they caused him. So he had every reason to treat them and to extract revenge and to at least minimum to extract compensation. But he did not do any of that. He actually recited the same ayah. He said, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, yaghfiru Allahu lakum. He said, there is no blame on you today and may Allah forgive you. That's why the people of Makkah, after the conquest of Makkah, who were there, they are called At-Tulaqa, they are called the freed slaves of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this reason. Because he forgave them. He could have enslaved them, but he forgave them. So they were very afraid that he would take revenge, but he did not. Now, Surah Yusuf was revealed to Rasulullah in the Aam al-Huzn in Makkah, the year of sadness, as it is called, when his uncle Abu Talib and his wife Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha had passed away. He was in a very difficult situation at that time and he was overcome with sorrow because of these two great bereavements. It was not just a death, it was the death of the two most beloved people that he had. His uncle, who supported him throughout his life and who stood up for him against his own family, against his own tribe, including going off into banishment and suffering the boycott. And his wife of 25 years, who literally impoverished herself in supporting him. And she was a very wealthy woman, but she spent all her money in the support of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission and message and in helping people in this time of when the Quraysh boycotted them, and she also passed away. So these two of his greatest supports, they were gone in the same year, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very, very sad. That is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah to strengthen his resolve by showing him what happened with Yusuf alayhi salam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him, and how in the end Yusuf alayhi salam won. So in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is saying to him that don't lose hope. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So Allah turns the tables on the oppressors. He rewards the truthful, and magnanimity in victory is a mark of the honor of the person. Not allowing his brothers to be in the position of beggars. Sabr and not losing hope in the mercy of Allah, even when the signs appear to be negative. So when his brothers came as begging for food, he said, no, you are my brothers. And he honored them, he helped them. So he said, اِذْهَبُوا بِقَمِيسِ هَذَا فَأَلْقُوهُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ أَبِي يَأْتِي بَصِيرًا وَأْتُونِي بِأَهْلِيكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. So he said, go with this shirt of mine and put it over the face of my father. He will become clear-sighted, and bring to me all your family. So this is one of the mu'jizat of Yusuf alayhi salam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his qudrat, and Allah wanted to give his Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam back his eyesight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala graces it by involving Yusuf alayhi salam in that process. And when the caravan departed from Egypt, their father said, I do indeed feel the smell of Yusuf, if only you think that I am not a person who is lost his mind because of old age. And they said, by Allah, you are in your old error. So this is family is telling him, oh, this is your old thing. You keep on crying about Yusuf, and you don't give up this thing. And so again, now you are saying you are smelling the smell of Yusuf and the aroma and the perfume. And how is this possible? Right? This is where the issue of yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tested when the external conditions, when the circumstances seem to be against them. Right? And everything seems to be ranged in a way which is negative to continue to have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise, to continue to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise. This is the meaning of tawakkul. If everything is going your way, then where is the test? The test is when things all seem to be falling apart. But we say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is success for the one who is truthful. There is success for the one who is compassionate. There is success for the one who is pious. And therefore, I do not lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise. فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ ألقاه على وجهه فارتد بصيرا قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون قالوا يا أبانا استغفر لنا ذنوبنا إنا كنا خاطئين قال سوف أستغفر لكم ربي إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Then when the bearer of the glad tidings arrived, he cast the shirt over his face and he became clear-sighted, and he said, did I not say to you, did I not tell you that I know from Allah that which you do not know? They said, oh, our father, we are sinners. Ask forgiveness from Allah for our sins. Indeed, we have been sinners. So now they have to apologize because they deceived the father as well. So they are apologizing to him. And he said, I will ask my Rabb for forgiveness for you. Verily, he only is the oft-forgiving, most merciful. So now this is both Yusuf alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam prayed for their forgiveness and they forgave them. So the magnanimity of the Anbiya alayhi salam. And that is how they all relocated. Then they all moved to Egypt. They all relocated to Egypt on the invitation of the ruler, who was Yusuf alayhi salam himself. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفَ آوِي إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ وَقَالَ ادْخُلُوا مِصْرَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. So they entered Egypt, and then when they entered into Yusuf alayhi salam, he betook his parents to himself and he said, enter Egypt if Allah wills in security. And he raised his parents to the throne and they fell down before him prostrate. And he said, oh my father, this is the interpretation of my dream aforetime, which is the dream you saw, which we saw in the beginning of the surah. My Rabb has made it come true. He was indeed good to me and he took me out of the prison and brought you all here out of the Bedouin life after Shaitan had sown enmity between me and my brothers. Certainly my Rabb is the most courteous and kind, unto whom he will. Truly he, only he is the all-knowing, the all-wise. And then he said, O my Rabb, you have indeed bestowed on me of the sovereignty and taught me the interpretation of dreams. The only, the creator of the heavens and the earth, you are my wali in this world and in the hereafter, and cause me to die as a Muslim and join me with the righteous. This is of the news of the ghaib, unseen, which we reveal by inspiration to you. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you were not present with them when they arranged their plan together, and also while they were plotting. Now, with Yusuf alayhi salam, this is the final fulfillment of the dream that he saw as a child. And lots of lessons that we have here. One is the shukr of the difference between dunya and akhirah, the lesson of shukr that we must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he gives us, and also to understand that shaitan sows enmity between brothers and sisters, and therefore any time you have this, and this is such a sad thing in our families, may Allah protect us. Small things, we are so it's so shameful that even small kindness you don't want to do for your brothers and sisters. How bad is that, right? So beware of that. Do not have this enmity. This life is going to end. These relationships will end. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what remains is forgiveness. So do not allow these things to come in the way of the greater benefit of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, this is the end of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to study the seerah, the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and to benefit from this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to live our lives in a way which pleases him, because that is the only thing which will help us when we meet him. And that meeting is sure, it is sure to happen, and it can happen at any time at all, and the sooner we prepare for it, the better for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.